Coming up shortly, we'll get to Sirianni and CJ GJ and some of their post-game comments. Let's go to Samaj right now. Samaj, good morning, buddy.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Samaj?
Good, sir.
It's a couple of things, a lot of pros and cons about the game this past weekend. But the biggest thing I want to recognize is the offensive play calling, and obviously the defensive line and the whole defense came to play yesterday.
Well, that's true. Well, let me say this about the offensive play calling, which obviously did not yield many points yesterday. I think that was more on Sirianni's decisions and Hurts' miscues early and lack of talent, because let's be real, they played without four starters yesterday as that game developed. I mean, when you're missing two linemen and two wide receivers, that's pretty incredible. But I do want to say this. Credit to Kellen Moore. It's probably him. Maybe Sirianni has a hand. Who knows? But Kellen Moore especially. That last big play to Dallas Goedert. You know, I saw some people.
Apparently, Hurts audible to it.
Good by him. Yeah. Good by him. I saw some people on Twitter making
how
a point.
Awesome
no, that's great. I saw some people on Twitter making a point to say, man, the Eagles got really lucky. Three Saints ran into each other. And, like, sort of.
Well, that's the whole point.
But not entirely.
It's a drive route.
That's the design
to
of the play.
Pull the defenders into one another.
Yeah, I mean, it's like.
We used to have a play called Bingo Cross. Backs insert inside and cross, and the whole goal was to pull those linebackers into one another's face.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
It's man coverage. You know it's man coverage. Jalen, very smartly, gets to a man beater with the drive route by the tight end. Yeah. Great job by Jalen.
But great job by Kellen Moore there. That is a play design that freaking worked.
Great job by Kellen Moore providing Jalen with that play,
with that
answer.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's what I'm talking about from last year, Joe. Jalen didn't have the answers that he needed to the test. Now we're seeing that he does have some of the answers. We are seeing that on third down, we are sight adjusting routes.
Sure.
We are running hot routes at times. All the things we've been begging for, we're seeing signs that things are coming around. It's not perfect yet.
No.
It needs to be a lot better.
But,
and Jalen right now in this offense is uncomfortably pushing the ball into places he would not have in the past, which is a real worry.
Well, I agree with that. I do think you're overinflating the offense. They had 0 points entering the fourth quarter. I mean, like, that was not a good performance. Samaj, go ahead, buddy.
I think Jalen's forcing these throws because of the situations he's getting put in because of these bad play calls. I mean, we can't just ignore these play calls that aren't doing anything. Like when we called timeout and it was fourth and one or fourth and two.
Yeah.
And we line up and act like we called timeout and Nick Sirianni talks to Jalen for 5 minutes. The whole stadium knows we're running.
Well, no, that's not true. I mean, the whole stadium did not know Saquon Barkley was about to get the ball. I mean, come on, man. Let's be real. Most people thought it was going to be a run right up the middle, you know, with Jalen taking it on a sneak. So let's not go crazy here. Let's listen to Sirianni after the game. Sirianni talked, man, about a lot of things after the game. Of course, he'll be on our show tomorrow. After the game yesterday, I thought he was borderline emotional. You know, he had to be feeling the heat in those 3 hours. I think most Eagles fans were calling for his job. That's just my guess. I'll use the term most based on the text I got from. There was one point yesterday, not making this up. I had my phone down for about 10 minutes, picked it up about 10 minutes after I had last cleared my text. I had 107 text messages in 10 minutes. 107. 107. Now, listen, it was about 12 different groups. And so obviously some of them had 10 or 20 or 30 within a group. Like, people were going crazy during that game yesterday. And I don't blame you. I was part of it also. I didn't call for his job, but I'm thinking about it. Let's listen to Sirianni after the game. Almost emotional. I'll call it borderline emotional. And I thought purposeful with his words postgame.
Adversity that happens in life all the time, over and over and over again. You're going to have small losses in between in every single game, whether it's, you know, an interception, whether it's a fumble, whether it's me going for it in a fourth down scenario and we don't get it. You got to overcome those things. And I'm so proud of those guys that they did that. It just showed such a resilience and a team, right? A team plays together. A team has each other's back. I can't tell you how many times Saquon and Jordan, Mylata, and Chauncey came up to me as like, man, we got your back. We got your back, coach. I mean, this is a hard place to play. This is a hard place to win.
Look, it's a nice thing to hear. It's great that those players felt that not only sense of responsibility, but also choice to approach their coach. You know, that's good.
But it's also kind of messed up that they have to console the head coach because he's doing such a poor job.
Well, he put them in a compromised position. Yeah, he put
being in that spot with Andy Reid. Like, I can't imagine. Well, we feeling
there a million times with Andy. Yeah. You might not have felt it. We felt it.
Yeah, I wanted him to run the ball more than anyone in the world. And every offensive lineman at times in the locker room would pound the locker because we didn't run the ball enough. But man, we respected.
You did respect. I know you did
so much. Here's beyond what I can perceive.
No, I know you did.
Anyone feels for Nick Sirianni?
Maybe. I mean, listen. Maybe they do love him, but they don't like the decisions. I mean, I don't know how they could have liked some of those decisions. Here's the weird thing about the decisions with Sirianni. I actually thought in his first 3 years, I thought he was phenomenal.
Yeah,
at those
the in-game stuff.
I thought he was great.
He would nail.
Like what Andy Reid was horrible at 15 years ago.
It was his redeeming quality. Yeah, that was what he was best at. And now it's like the less he has to do other than, I don't even know.
It's great. And I'm all for being aggressive. I mean, I have seen the light on how there's positives that come from the unconventional, which has become more conventional. But what Sirianni did yesterday was outrageous. Let's go to Dennis in Springfield. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Good morning, John. It's been a while. I hate the ugly win. I hate the lucky win. I hate we didn't play well. I look around the entire NFL, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of pretty wins.
That's true.
That's a good point, Dennis. That is a good point. And you know what? There are some teams that are good at winning ugly who aren't even winning. You know, the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I know they're banged up. You can say the same thing about us. We are without two major weapons on our offense. The 49ers are without major weapons on their offense,
too. I'd say three when you include Lane.
That's true.
I mean, you can make the case they played the bulk of the game yesterday with their three best offensive players out of the game.
Sure.
I mean, I think three of the four, because you'd have to include Saquon.
The game.
Right, that's right.
We won the game. Yeah. The 49ers were unable to win the game.
That's
the
right.
49ers this season have been, I don't know, slightly less resilient, as reflected by their record. If you go by their record, if for posterity's purposes, everyone will. Right now, we're 2-1. We have a better record than they do, and we have exhibited greater toughness because of the way our defense played against the Saints team that we were told was going to just shove the ball right down our throats. They're going to run it all over us, and all week long, we didn't say that much.
Well, like, by the way, when you say told,
did.
When you said we were told, you were one of the people telling.
Telling what?
The Saints are going to shove the ball down the Eagles' throat.
No, I thought we would win.
But you thought the Saints were going to run pretty effectively. I mean, last week I thought the Eagles would try to run the ball.
I knew that we would focus on stopping that, and that's why we had a good chance.
All right, Dennis, go ahead, man.
And the thing with the defense is I can't remember the last time I said about this defense, I don't know what group played better.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The secondary? The linebackers or the defensive line?
I thought the guys up front.
I thought that D-line. Secondary was outstanding, too.
Oh, well,
yes, right.
Yes and no.
I thought the back end was probably the weakest group, and that's not to say they were bad. I mean, Gardner Johnson got completely smoked on the one play. Now, that's a tough spot for him. It's a good wide receiver, and he's a safety. But that was a little concerning because, you know, they may need him in those kind of roles this year, and he wasn't even close to Olave on that TD. Not even.
That's Chris Olave.
I know.
And just another point. I mean, you look at the Eagles game last week, and you look at the Dallas game last week, and you look at how both those teams played yesterday. The Eagles came out and played balls out, while it looked like to me Dallas came out and didn't even show up for that game.
Look, Dallas has a problem. I mean, Dennis, they're in a spot right now, man.
You saw that they had like a flare up on the sideline defensively. Now it was Micah
and CeeDee too. CeeDee was yelling at Dak Prescott too.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was a video. It happened in the moment.
They got issues.
Yeah.
They really do have issues. Let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's tailgate season, and Armin Chevrolet, check out the incredible lineup of SUVs at ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. First poll question, which individual or group is most responsible for the Eagles' win yesterday? Thought about having the O-line in this poll, narrowed it down to three without them. Most responsible, A, Saquon Barkley, B, Dallas Goedert, C, the defense. All could legitimately get votes in this poll. We'll see where it goes at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Second poll question, what stands out to you more from yesterday's Eagles win? Is it the positives or the negatives? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and weigh in on the phone lines on that as well. Speaking of weighing in, CJGJ certainly did post-game yesterday. I'll say this, and I mean this with no disrespect, although maybe a little disrespect. He is a diarrhea of the mouth kind of guy. I mean, he just is.
He doesn't stop.
I mean, when he gets going, it doesn't.
When they win, it's fun.
when they lose, it's really, really annoying.
Stream of consciousness instead of diarrhea of the mouth.
All right, so he got going yesterday, went on and on and on. We'll give you a little snippet. CJGJ talking some smack and more after the game.
He's stacking the victories. Next.
Take us to the final drive here. Talk about the interception.
We knew he was going to give us one all game. Like, everybody wanted to bet on, they thought they had us on a little set around the lobby. Okay, cool. But they didn't go over our head all day. It's cool. We got the best secondary, best D-line, best front seven in the league right now. And I'm popping it because at the end of the day, they talked about, they said we were down and out. They talked about last week. Now look at you now.
That's been the top offense in the league coming into today.
Top what?
The Saints. In terms of points.
Top what?
You're at it.
Top what? Ain't nothing. Listen, ain't nothing get over that top from.
Okay.
Shout out to Slade. Shout out to Q. Shout out to Vontae. Shout out to Reed. Shout out to Ringo. Shout out to Coach CP. Shout out to Coach JK. Amen. Best secondary in the league. That's the case.
What'd you have to play through today?
We ain't played through nothing. Played through my teammates. I'm not worried about somebody. Listen. We keep receipts. That's what I told y'all in my room. See y'all Sunday. But I told y'all a couple days before, they got rid of me. I ain't get rid of them. It's still in me. It's still tatted on me. I ain't worried. Come on, give me another one.
All right, CJGJ, yesterday after the game. There's about 13 different themes in that one. John, what stood out to you the most?
Sounds like you got a mixture of sour grapes and enthusiasm for his new team, and then more sour grapes. And
belief in his team.
Belief and gladness that his team is the one that came out on top now. He certainly has a knack for just upping the volume, upping the intensity, and that's just what he's doing.
So here, I figured out yesterday who C.J. Gardner-Johnson is. He's the same guy, but just a better player. He's Patrick Beverly of the NBA. During the game, after the game, the mouth is just always going, tremendous bravado. You're going to kind of enjoy it when things are good. You're going to not enjoy it when things are bad. But either way, he's just going to talk a lot. I mean, it's just what he does. Let's get to Jim in Bridesburg. Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Jim?
Very happy with the offensive and defensive line play. I mean, that defense was something to watch. It really was.
It was. It was great.
And it was flexible, Jim. It was creative. Yeah. You know, what Vic Fangio did, he mixed it up with the fronts. It wasn't all just one thing. He was changing it up with our big guys, putting different combinations of the big guys. It was awesome to see Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis playing at the top of their game.
Jim, I will say this, and this is not to skew negative because I was obviously freaking thrilled with how the D played. I'll just say this. I would believe in them more today if this was a Saints team that was like 8-2 instead of 2-0. Like, we don't really know how good the Saints are, even though they look great in the first two games. I mean, there was a year the Eagles started out 3-0 and finished 7-9 and didn't win a game for about a month and a half at one point. That's Carson's rookie year. My point is, Derek Carr yesterday came back toward the average after he had played exceptional. So I take their early season success with a bit of a grain of salt.
Yeah, the thing that does concern me, Joe, and you were spot on with this, is Sirianni. I mean, I gave him the benefit of the doubt up until yesterday. But, man, those fourth down decisions were scary.
They were scary.
You know?
They were scary. That's a fair way to put it. And I'll say this, Jim. They should have won the game more comfortably. Now, it wouldn't have been comfortable, okay, because they weren't good enough and didn't play well enough to win comfortably, but it could have been more comfortable. And I'll also add this. If they didn't play with so much frickin' fire, maybe they won't have to give the ball to Saquon 20-something times every game. See, I'm telling you guys, there's going to be a toll here.
They didn't use him the first two drives.
No, I know they didn't, but he's on pace right now for over 500 touches this year. That's not acceptable. Just not. So it's part of how you win a game yesterday, but it's going to have an effect later this season if they have to keep giving them the ball 20 to 26 times a game. That's ridiculous. Wow.
This is what you do with a great bell cow back.
No, it's what you did in 1972 with a great bell cow back.
This
now you got to play 21 games.
Come on, man.
Do you get that, though, John? You got to play 21 games.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're not going to get the bye.
You're not going to be able to take advantage of all of his greatness if you bubble wrap him and sit him on the sideline the whole season. Why do you think part of what makes him so great is he's able to, you know, push through some being banged up here and there?
To this point,
to this point in his career,
he is rarely pushed through to the point where he plays 16 games.
He's had major injuries behind a terrible offensive line. Give him a chance. Give him a chance here be the bell cow that
he's the bell cow, but my point is, if you made better decisions earlier and played crisper football earlier, you wouldn't have to lean on him so much. And that can have an effect. It's like a bullpen in baseball. Look, guys, we saw in 93, Mitch, Larry Anderson, and David West were all, their arms were falling off in freaking late October because they've been used so much. That's my concern on Saquon. God bless him for what he's doing. He's an incredible player. If you as a team and Nick as a coach play better and make better decisions earlier, you don't have to lean on him so much. That's my point.